Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Pick 6 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 6 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick 6 with Mully and Haw starts now.
How about the Bears? They still have a handful of coaches who were not dismissed and have a possibility to stick around, including the tight end coach Jim Dre, defensive line Travis Smith, linebacker Dave Broganzi, safeties coach Andre Curtis. Their situations are likely to be figured out in the coming days. Does it depend on the coordinator at this point?
That is interesting stuff. That's Big Z wrote a story that they still have some guys that they haven't released yet, and they, will get definition on that. If I were any of those guys, I'd still be looking for a job, right? Because there's no tomorrow promise to anyone, so I would be worried about it. Jim Dre is the only guy that has to deal with the new offensive coordinator, but the rest of them are all would fall under the auspices of the defensive coordinator. So it'll depend on that might be a harder job to get unless you have a relationship with him. And I believe at least one of these guys has a pre-existing relationship with him. I think Travis Smith does. So we'll see how that turns out. But, it's a good reminder from Big Z about, the NFL. If you like your acronyms, the NFL is one of these places, not for long, right? And everybody gets hired to be fired, and everybody knows they're in trouble, and you always try to make connections. So I don't know. I wish I had more certainty on which guys would be back or wouldn't be back, but I suppose you wonder about how many people a young coach would know versus an elderly coach. And, he's hardly elderly, but he's been around long enough to know plenty of people.
Yeah, I think Dennis Allen's going to have some people in mind that he would like to work with. I think this is interesting. It's good reporting. But here's, if the Bears are turning a corner, if they're joining the rest of the NFL and working as a big business, then unless Dennis Allen wants one or two or three or more of these guys to stick around, he should have that choice. Ben Johnson should have that choice. Or if all these guys are back, what does that scream? It screams cheap, right? It says we don't want to have to pay these guys for a year or two to not work for us and then hire five guys, five coaches to fill that position. So if the Bears are doing business differently, these guys will be moving on to, hopefully for them, a different job in the NFL or college football.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I just don't know if that's a right assumption to make, because we don't know any of these guys if they have connections with the new coaching staff. And this is, to me, a very understandable pace of staff compilation. Ben Johnson got here 5 minutes ago, and there are going to be some guys who are going to be near the bottom of the list. I mean, you have to take care of your coordinators. You have to move on some guys who are on the Lions staff. I think those are the guys that you look at, JT Barrett and Antoine Randall. That made sense. And then Al Harris popped open, and he was a guy who was going to be on the market and sought after. He had options. So all the moves that they have made to this point are understandable in terms of the pace that they have been made. This is how the sausage is made. I mean, it takes time. It's uncomfortable for these guys to wait it out, but I don't think it's all that unusual. And so we'll see how many of these coaches are kept. We'll see how many of these coaches go to Alabama for the Senior Bowl with Ben Johnson, if he's going, who else is going with. All these are part of the typical pace of the offseason, but I don't think it's anything out of the ordinary.
Oh, boy, good question.
Voice of Coach Wanstead, he's here at 740. Finish this sentence, please. The best thing about the Bears coaching staff Ben Johnson is putting together is...
I think the best thing about the coaching staff Ben Johnson is putting together is its range of experience. I like the fact that they have a guy that we just compared to Matt Eberflus. You know, you got your 50-something grizzled defensive coordinator who's been in the league forever in Dennis Allen, and he's your defensive coordinator. You have a 28-year-old coaching prodigy, apparently, in Declan Doyle, and a lot of the conversations about what is he done to deserve this? And that's interesting. But if he has Ben Johnson's stamp of approval, I think a lot of people are going to be giving him a lot of respect. And then you have the ex-player factor. Just mentioned the guys who I think are key additions and improve the relatability of a staff. And that's what you want. That's what you saw in Detroit. And if that's any sort of takeaway from the Dan Campbell experience, it might be having some players, ex-players on your staff that have immediate respect when they coach these guys at practice, in the film room, etc. So Al Harris, JT Barrett, and Antoine Randall are nice additions. And then you fill it out. The offensive line hire is going to be the next key hire. These other guys that we mentioned are important, but the offensive line coach will be also very important. And you'd like to see that guy with experience, because your offensive coordinator doesn't necessarily have it. So I do think he's done a nice job of mixing and matching, and the scope of the experience levels has been most interesting.
Antoine Randall is the answer for me. I love that hire. I think that is going to be amazing. They've got a good room with the wide receivers. He's been there. He's done that. He's been around the Lions, so he's been around Dan Campbell. He's been around Ben Johnson, been around that culture. So that is really, really cool. There's also reports out here that the new Wonder Kid offensive coordinator related to Mike Ditka. Related to Mike Ditka. Does that do anything for you?
If it's true, I don't. Is it true?
I'm looking into it, David.
Okay,
but there is stuff on the internet about that.
What was his word?
What was the word?
What word did you use?
Related to, underkid.
Wunderkind? No, I'm saying the sentence.
Which word did I mispronounce or misuse? Is that
sentence,
what we're looking for?
The best thing about the Bears coach,
Antoine Randall.
Is.
Antoine.
Okay. I thought it was a word we were looking to finish the sentence. I beg your pardon. But you chose.
It's a person, right? I mean.
I was going to say.
It could be a noun.
I was going to say timely or well-timed. I think it's rare that we see the Bears get a hire in as quickly as they did in a coaching search. And the fact is they've given themselves time now to put together a staff. I like the defensive coordinator. I I'm interested. I'm kind of fascinated by the Declan Doyle hire. I just am curious about it. I'm not sure what to make of it, and I'm wondering if indeed a guy like Ben Johnson heard of a good young coach, up-and-comer type like himself, and thought that would help him in what he's doing. The other thing is, the guy comes from Sean Payton. That's kind of a specific type of offense. I'm wondering if he's looking for more insight into a specific type of offense. So I'm just interested in why that hire was made.
I'd love to know who recommended him.
Well, there you go. That's what I'm saying.
Because Dennis Allen was the head coach in New Orleans, yes, when Declan Doyle, I think, left.
Yeah.
And I wonder if they have a connection.
If they have a connection.
And you wonder, yeah, how that's all connected.
Right. So, but I think that the good news here is that they didn't wait and hire the last coach and now are
timely
trying to figure out how to fill different positions. So I that's what I thought. I see what you did, Dustin. You looked at it differently than I did.
Pick six.
Was beating the Nuggets 129-121 the best Bulls win of the year? What was the biggest reason for the win, and how are you with Zach LaVine missing the next couple of games for personal reasons?
I mean, it does raise, you know, the thing is the trade deadline is a week from Thursday. I know we're going to get into Jimmy Butler, but he is suspended through the trade deadline. So there's a reason teams do different things. I think, if I'm not mistaken, that Jimmy's wife is on the nest, and they may be having their third
Zach's
child. I'm sorry, Zach, Zach's, not Jimmy. I'm sorry. Zach, I think the reason Zach's missing time is for a legitimate personal reason. And, you know, as a man with three children, I think it's as important to give each of them their due and be as supportive as you can with your missus for the first one, the second one, the third. They're all, you know, every child born is a miracle, for God's sake. So it's a glorious thing, and I'm happy that he's doing it. I'm sure he wants to be with his wife and to help her through this. I don't read it as any kind of any clue to the trade deadline. It was what I'm trying to say. You know, was it the Bulls' best win of the year? I got to tell you, here's the question. Is it sustainable? That's, to me, the bigger issue. It's like, yeah, they had a great win. It's great to beat a team like that. But it just, is it a fluke? We've seen the Bulls win some tight games, some good games, but does it turn anything, or does it do anything for you? Did you learn anything? I suppose you could say if all of a sudden you got a super sub out of Patrick Williams, which really seems like a stretch, then maybe it's their best win. But I, you know, from a singular moment, I think they've had moments like this in this season. But is there any sustainability from this thing, which I question in my own mind?
Most surprising, for sure, did not see that coming. The reason they won the game, 24-6. The Bulls made 24 three-pointers last night. The Nuggets made 6. I mean, you live and die by the three. That's what this team does. All of a sudden, I mean, for years we were begging the Bulls to shoot three-pointers, and they didn't want to do it as much as everybody else. Now all they want to do is shoot threes. So the 25 made threes is the franchise record. So they were one short of that. As far as how do I feel about Zach LaVine missing the next couple of games for personal reasons, the 15 year ago Dustin would have been really, really hot and upset about this. Absolutely no question. I understand it. I get it. But, you know, the Bulls and or Zach LaVine could get Zach home in about 3 hours, wherever he's at. They could get him back in 3 hours. The wife has gone to social. It's not a we know that she is expecting their third child.
He talked about it too.
Right. He talked. So it's not we're not assuming this is what it is. She went on social media. So based on the fact that she's being very public and open about it, I'm hoping that everything is going excellently as far as her health and the baby's health. Now, maybe it isn't, and maybe that's part of it, and that's not really our business. Bottom line is, fine, but I think if the Bulls were in the top five of the Eastern Conference, maybe his willingness to be with the team versus not with the team for three games would be different. And again, you can get home in about 3 hours. So you could be there if, God forbid, there was an emergency.
Yeah, I think Zach Levine's he's earned the benefit of the doubt, and he's doing the right thing. And I understand what you said, if it's a different situation, if they were up higher in the standings, and maybe it would be different, but it's not. And I have no problem with that. I like the way that he was open about it, and nobody really has any problem with it. That's today's NBA and today's society, thank goodness. So the Bulls, I like that word, Dustin. I do think it might not be the best of the season, but it was maybe the most surprising. This is a team that had lost, I think, 6 of 7 and coming in, and there was no reason to believe they could beat the Joker and the Nuggets, and they were hitting shots all over the place. And then the guy that we questioned openly and everybody wondered about, Patrick Williams, he is a difference maker. Dalen Terry made an impact. Who expected that? No, where has he been all season long? So the bench play was outstanding. Lonzo Ball continues to be one of the best stories in the NBA this year. This guy, we all wrote him off last offseason. I remember talking about it, saying it myself. Don't talk to me about Lonzo Ball. I don't really want to think they can trust him. And then here he is making the kind of impact he's making. So it was the most surprising, if not the best, victory of the season for the Bulls.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know if that answered the question.
That's the voice of Billy Donovan. What do you make of Billy Donovan finally benching Patrick Williams to start last night's game against the Joker and the Nuggets? How about Ayo Dosunmu in the starting lineup in a four-guard lineup instead of P-Will?
Like college basketball. You got a center and four guards. Go out and spread it out and run the four corners and whatever. It was just crazy to think that in an NBA game that you can start four guards as they did. And they won. If you're a 3-and-D team, though, I think that's the way you want to play. It's up and down. Tough matchup for the Nuggets because of that. But I have to look at the rebounding numbers. I wondered, as the Bulls trotted out that starting lineup, if they were going to get a rebound. And I think that they had 47 rebounds, and they out-rebounded the Nuggets. So take that, I guess. I don't know if you can get away with that for very long, but they got away with it last night. I love the way that Patrick Williams was handled by Billy Donovan. I love the way that Billy Donovan talks about players that he is not totally sold on. He has been so honest about Matis Bezelis and his development and how to handle that. And Bezelis responded last night with a big game. Patrick Williams also responded to being benched. And this is one of the more confounding players that the Bulls have, one of the more confounding Chicago sports athletes this year, because in the last couple years, he's a fourth overall pick, and he didn't play like it last night. He's not played like it much at all, but last night at least was a step in the right direction.
David, it's a great way to put it, a step in the right direction. Now, because of the fact that he was not in the game, or part of the reason, you know, the Nuggets had an unbelievable night of points in the paint. You know, Jokic was just dunking the ball all night long. There is absolutely zero rim protection with this team. But hey, the Bulls won. Patrick Williams played big down the stretch. He was in there at the end of, you know, what's the old saying? Because you'll correct me either way. You know, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. The Bulls finished off great. They went on a 12-0 run to start the fourth quarter. They hit all those threes. And at the end, it didn't matter that Jokic had another triple-double. I think six out of the last seven games, the guys had a triple-double. So, you know, let's keep him coming off the bench and keep his energy up. Maybe it motivates him. And have him in there at the end when it matters, because there's been a bunch of games recently where they've had to sit him at the end when the game mattered.
Yeah. I mean, I just want to clarify one thing. The height of the team wasn't really that impacted, right? I mean, I get it. Patrick Williams is taller than Io, but Io's 6'5", right? Pretty sure Zach Levine 6'5", Lonzo 6'6", Josh Giddey 6'8", and you know Vooch. So that's your four guard lineup. They're all. It's not like a four guard lineup we'd play at the Y, where everybody, if you had a guy who was 6 feet tall, it'd be a miracle. You know, this is NBA guard. You know, they're pretty big guards, and I thought you got more out of Io than you would have gotten out of P. Will if you'd started him, quite frankly. So I kind of liked that move. I thought it was good, and I really did feel like it was heading that way, like the way Patrick Williams had been playing, and you know it just was getting to a point where they had to do something. So they mixed it up, and you know it's pretty wild to see that many guards on the floor, but it's. You know, it's the NBA, and everybody can play guard, right? Isn't Wemby like a 7'4" guard in sheep's clothing?
What was the other part of that question?
Voice of John Heyman, he's here at 7:25. What'd you make of Jimmy Butler walking out of practice and the Heat announcing yet another suspension? This one, at least 5 games, which will take him past the Feb 6 trade deadline. Has Jimmy played his last game for the Heat? Would you trade for a suspended player, especially a guy who's been suspended 3 times in the last month?
Jimmy Butler, man. I mean, this is tough stuff because you know, he's had a really wild career. You look at Jimmy's career, and he's he you know, Trumbull, Texas, and you know, coming out of nowhere, and somehow becoming this late first round pick that emerged into a really good player. But he's bounced around the league for a guy who has been on the verge of being a superstar. You know, guy who's been to the finals, but he hasn't won it. He's bounced around the league now, and every time he departs, it's like a really kind of negative story. It's just like, what alumni game is Jimmy going back to? Not that he worries himself with such matters. He's made a lot of money. But where's he welcome? Where is he? Like, it's just tough to watch people go through stuff like this. I did not see it. We have a texter talking about one of the reporters said that both he and Pat Riley are acting like children. I think Jimmy is acting a lot less mature than Pat Riley, okay? And I think that a lot of times when you're covering the NBA, you got to be pumping up the players. It's a players' league. But I don't blame Pat Riley because he didn't want to give the guy an extension or pay the guy or whatever. What the extension is the reason, right? That's why Jimmy is sulking so badly. This is an awful way to leave what was, you know, a really good run for him in Miami. He did very well for himself in Miami, but you look at all the stops he's had. It's I'm sorry. There would be a team out there that is desperate for help right now. We need help. We got to compete. We need someone to put us over the top. But whoever signs Jimmy, whoever takes on that deal, whether it's Phoenix or anyone else. They'll regret it. They'll eventually regret it when it comes time for him to be done.
Well, first of all, shame on Jimmy Butler for handling his business like this. I think he is acting like a child, and I think Pat Riley's probably acting like get off my lawn, old man, and the two of them are so stubborn and far apart, and this is why. I don't know that this would be happening with another team not led by Pat Riley. I don't know that my advice would have been put your head down, play as hard as you can. If you want to stop talking to the media, that's fine. Don't talk to the media. Just go out, support your teammates, and let it be known that you want out, but continue to play your game. Walking out, but again, like, why were the Heat not going to start him? Right, the Heat announced they weren't going to start him, so that's why his recent walk-off. Like, why would you not start Jimmy Butler? He's not Patrick Williams, so that's a ridiculous insult as well. Has he played his last game with the Miami Heat? Yes. Would I trade for him? No.
It's not insulting when he has been divisive and is a cancer in the locker room. They're doing the right thing. Jimmy Butler is a problem, and he's always been a problem. He talked his way out of Chicago. He talked his way out of Minnesota. He talked his way out of Philadelphia. Now he's trying to talk his way out of Miami. He's making $48 million. Please. This guy is what's wrong with professional sports. He got to a couple NBA finals, didn't finish the job. Fine. He can lead a team. He can play defense. He's 35 years old. Read the room, Jimmy Butler. You're not the same player you used to be. You want to force a trade? Whether it's Pat Riley or whoever's making the decision, Spoelstra, I wouldn't start him either. I wouldn't put the guy like that on the court. What has he done to earn his way onto the court? This is just Jimmy Butler being what Jimmy Butler always has been, a problem.
Hey, here's a question for you guys to discuss and ponder.
Voice of Mike Florio there. He's with you at 8:44 this morning for Pro Football Talk. Which DC, defensive coordinator, in Super Bowl 59 would you rather have? Vic Fangio of the Eagles or Steve Spagnuolo of the Chiefs? Are they in the 10 best of the NFL right now? And who will have the greater NFL legacy?
Well, I think they're among the two best in the league. And whoever wins, I guess, can stake claim to being the best. Vic Fangio's been around longer. Spags is somebody who definitely, if he wins this Super Bowl with that defense, and the defense is a big reason, he will go down as one of the best defensive coordinators in NFL history. We talk all the time and revere Buddy Ryan, and that was one. Imagine having multiple Super Bowls to pick which is your favorite. And Steve Spagnuolo gets overlooked. I think he may be the most overlooked defensive coordinator in the NFL because he plays or he coaches on a team where Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce work. Spags is a guy that is understated, but should not be underappreciated. Definitely in the conversation for one of the best assistant coaches ever if he wins this game. Vic Fangio just keeps on doing what he does. We appreciated it for a couple years in Chicago. There are a lot of NFL cities that have had that benefit, but these guys are clearly at the top of the list. You know, Jim Schwartz is a guy that has some respect in the top five. There's other guys who bounce around. Maybe Matt Eberflus will get in that top five category if he has a couple good years in Dallas, but it's clearly this is the cream of the crop.
Agree. These guys are the cream of the crop, David. Great way to put it. One of these two will win the Super Bowl. They will get a ring. They'll get a nice check. The confetti will rain down on them. They'll get to hug their players and their friends and family that got down to the game. Now, if Spagnuolo is able to dial up a defense that slows down Saquon Barkley, right? This would be his third or fourth consecutive playoff game with over 100 yards rushing. So if they were able to like hold him to 75 yards rushing and the Chiefs win, that's going to be a big check mark for Spagnuolo. If Fangio is able to dial something up and slow down Patrick Mahomes and help them, you know, keep them to 20 points, let's say, or 21 points, not necessarily the game you want to see, that's going to be a massive check mark for Vic Fangio. I actually looked this up and I forgot about it. Maybe you guys remembered, you probably did. If you mentioned it yesterday, shame on me. When this Super Bowl happened 2 years ago, Vic Fangio was brought in by the Eagles for 2 weeks to help out. Do you remember the defensive coordinator for the Eagles in that game? Sean Desai, the former Bear coach, was the DC in that game. And Fangio was brought in. Now, it was a high-scoring game. So, but again, Fangio knows the Chiefs, coached against them when he was a head coach in Denver. So this is going to be one of these two guys. If they put out, if the reason their team wins is because of the defense, I think one of these two who have been around a long time will check their box for Canton.
I think this is a really interesting question because, you know, you got to ask yourself, when you're looking at this sort of a thing, you ask yourself, like, who's the best player on the field? You know, the best player on the field often does very well in these games. So it's probably, I mean, with due respect for the season Barkley's having, it's Mahomes. And who's the best coach on the field? Well, it's Andy Reid. So who's the best coordinator on the field? This is a real tight one. I would say Spags has got more success, right? I don't think Vic's ever won a Super Bowl, right? He's been to one and lost to John Harbaugh with Jim. But that's doesn't – I think there's more talent on the and they've done a great job of rebuilding that defensive line and keeping that a strength over the years. But I think there's more talent for Philadelphia. And I think if they win the game, Vic Fangio is going to play a really big role in it. Spags, I mean, what is his toughest assignment? How do you stop Saquon Barkley? You know, teams have geared up to stop him through the playoffs, and the guy's getting two touchdowns a game. I mean, how do you stop that guy when he breaks a 66-yard or 62-yard touchdown run on his first touch of the game? I mean, you can't just throw an extra defender somewhere and think that means Saquon shut down. It is like a fascinating question, really, really good question to look at. I would say that they are by far two of the best in the NFL, and Spags might not be remembered that way, but he probably has the greater legacy
probably
just
does.
Because of the wins.
Yeah, the rings.
Yeah, the ring's the thing.